I know what you're talking about, Debbie, with that cough. I could tell you an old people joke. You hit a certain age, you can just be kind of talking and doing nothing, and all of a sudden you just kind of choke yourself. You know, you swallow down the wrong pipe. You need to, you know, what's wrong? What'd you do? I just choked on my own self, you know. So I'm in Ace the other day. I got my mask on, you know, I'm behaving myself. And I did that. I'm just sitting there in the line, and all of a sudden I'm just like coughing, and everybody's looking at me like I'm like, I'm just joking, that's all. It's just me, all right? No, I'm not super spreader. Get off my back, right? It's crazy. I'm like, man, I'm getting in trouble for choking myself here. I want to begin today in Psalm 119, verse 1. We've been doing a series through Psalm 119, and I've been showing you the Hebrew letter that goes with these little sections and showing how they relate to the section. So in Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8, it is the section Aleph. And Aleph has meaning, Aleph has a picture, Aleph has all kinds of things with it that relate to the passage. That's Aleph, like Olive, but Aleph, Aleph, Aleph. And that sounds like an F. Aleph looks like this. Kind of looks like an N, but it's actually silent. The Aleph is silent. What the Aleph does, Aleph is a very powerful letter. And as you know, Hebrews, they write from right to left in the Hebrew language. So to begin a word with Aleph would be here, and then the word would be here. And typically you might see a little something like that. But the Aleph is actually silent. And what it does is it adds significance to the word, and it may add the sound k, like a k, like k, a little bit of a cough in the word. It may do something like that to the word. Doesn't have to. Could be an Aleph in the middle of a word, could be an Aleph at the end of the word, but the word Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, there's this Jewish folklore about Aleph not really being the first letter, but Beit being the first letter. But then Aleph had a talk with God, and God said, no, you're so humble, I'm going to put you. There's all kinds of things like that. We're not interested. Aleph came from ancient languages, and really it... going as far back as you can, this was the picture of this letter before, even way before the Hebrew alphabet as we know it. And it stood for strength. And then it became the Aleph. And it was master, kind of Lord. Teacher. It has to do with leadership. There's another Jewish thing where it turns into wondrous. They read it backwards and it's wondrous, almost mystical or spiritual. But this is primarily where we're at with Aleph. Aleph is very much God's letter, so to speak. It very much points to God, the Lord. I'll show you one more cool thing. We're going to talk some more next week about it. I don't want to spill everything this week. The Aleph is made up of three letters. Okay, so this mark is a Yud. This mark is a Yud, And this mark is a deleth, okay? So three letters to make one letter, God's letter. This is God's, very much God's letter. Three to make one. Three to make one. Sound familiar? Three to make one. So they see this, they see it. A messianic Jew, a Jew that believes in Messiah, Jesus, messianic Jews say this is God in heaven, in his mystery. We can't see him. There's so much about him we don't see. That is God in heaven. This is God come to earth. And God's existence, God's influence, God's leadership and strength here on earth. And this is the humble means by which it came. Because this letter typically stands up and it is in a humble position, bent over. And so God came to earth on the back of a humble person. So, obviously, to a Messianic Jew, this is Jesus. It is sometimes also the Bible. To a Jew, this is the Jew. This is God. These are Jews, and this is Torah. A similar thing. If they're not Messianic Jews, it's God, Jews, Torah. Three in one. Aleph. Very, very, very amazing letter, history, awesome stuff. So every verse in Psalm 119 begins with an Aleph. That's throughout Psalm 119. Every verse in Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8, begins with an Aleph. So God is very present in this. I would say that this passage, even though it may look like it's about us, it's really about God. And all I want to share with us today are the first three verses. We will round this thing off next week. You wouldn't be happy with me if about 2 o'clock I was finishing this up. So we're going to do the first three verses today. I'll read the entire verses 1 through 8, and we will come back and talk about the first three verses. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed begins with Aleph. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame. Having my eyes fixed on all your commandments, I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. So, blessed, first three verses, blessed. Blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those. There it is. Blessed are those. And blessed begins with a silent Aleph, which is so typical, isn't it? You don't know you're blessed. Maybe you don't feel blessed. You don't know how you got blessed, because it begins with God. God blesses you. That silent Aleph, he's the one who blesses when it counts. You feel you're beat up. We have so many people now, they're losing loved ones, families, surgeries, so many things going on in our country. Sometimes we might not feel blessed, but God is the one blessing us. And if God blesses us, we are blessed. We are blessed. That silent Aleph begins the word blessed. So, first three verses, blessed by God. God blesses those. Blessed are those. Oh, those people. Yep, those people. Blessed are those. Let's walk through these first three verses. Verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless and who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, that, it would be easy for you and I to look through this and just go, oh, blameless. Oh, yeah, that's me, blameless. I don't do nothing wrong. You'd be wrong. I want you to stop before we get to that part. I want you to look at these two little phrases, and I want you to see the distinction between the way and the walk. See what it says? First part says, the way, the blameless way. And then it says, the walk. Blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord. There's a difference between a way and a walk. The way means path. Blessed are those whose path is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. If I was to grab 10 kids and say, kids, I want you to start right here, and I want you to go back, and I want you to go around, and I want you to come up, and I want you to stop right here. I've marked out a path for them. That's the path. But each kid will walk that path a different way. Some will be throwing their arms, some will be singing, some will be marching, right? Some will be very, I mean, everybody's going to walk that path a little bit differently. There is a difference between a path and your walk. And that's what he's saying here. There's a pick a path. There's a path that is blameless. The blameless path is not the pure path. That's not what he's saying here. When you read the word blameless, you and I go, perfect. Never does anything wrong. Blameless. That's not what this word means. This word means it's blameless because it's entire. It's complete. Blessed are those whose path is complete or entirely encompassed in this meaning of the path, in whatever path it is you take. Your path, what you've done, you have picked a path in your life, and everything of your life entirely is devoted to this path. That's what it means. There's no room to blame you in your life. Oh, I'm holding back this. No, all this I've given to the path, but not this. Well, that part is to blame. That's the blame part. Now, the blameless part is the person who has picked a path and given everything to the path. If it was Jesus, I've chosen a path. Jesus' path, and I've given every corner, every stitch of my life to the path. Whatever Jesus says, I'm going there. That's who I am. Nothing I'm holding back. I've chosen that path. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the path. I'm the path to God. Pick a path. You know, everybody in here has chosen a path in life. Whether you've wanted to or not, every single person in here, you've picked a path. This is the path I will go living, walking, navigating in this life. This is the path I choose to live. Everyone here has chosen a path. Maybe it's not, you know, oh, I've chosen to follow Jesus. You got this big title over your path. But you've chosen a path. This is my path through this life. With God as the blesser to the blessed. Blessed are those whose way is entirely encompassed in his path. Who walk, now we're talking about movement, in the law of the Lord. You've chosen your path for God, the Aleph, and you've given everything to it, and now you're moving. Now there is movement. and you walk in His law, in His word, in His ways. Some people would say, I believe in God. I've chosen God. But you don't walk. Your movement is not according to His law, His ways. You're trying to walk a path to God with your laws and your ways. So the walk is now according to God's ways. There's the path. I'm committed to the path, and my movement, step by step, my walk, everything I do will be ordered by His word, by His law, by His commands. That person, those, blessed are those people. Blessed are those people who understand the path to God, and they understand then to walk that path is to walk according to His word, according to His commands. That's how we will be blessed. He blesses those people. Verse 2, blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. Another verse just easy to fly through. But let's look at the two words, keep and seek. Two different things. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies. Blessed are those who seek Him. Keep and seek. Keep and seek. So I keep something. You know what that means. I keep something. This is my coffee cup. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. This is the sacred coffee cup. It has my coffee in it. This is my fuel. This is mine. Leave it alone. I'm keeping that. That is mine. Big difference between seeking. Now I'm actively engaged. Now I'm actively pursuing something, right? I'm seeking. I remember when the kids were smaller, John, you got him on your lap, so maybe you know this. You've gone to the grocery store or to Disneyland, and he or she was right here a minute ago. Honey? And you are seeking now. You are seeking Junior. Where did he go? Oh, hey, get it. Huh? Big difference between keeping and seeking. We keep His testimonies. We keep His word. Man, just give me His word. We just pull it in. We're just holding it. We're just hugging it. We're keeping it. Notice what it says about seeking. But blessed are those who seek Him. Not the word, Him. You're keeping the word. You're on the path and you're walking and you're holding the word. You're loving it. You're keeping it. But you're seeking Him is what you're really doing. I'm seeking God. I'm not just okay here. I'm not on autopilot. Don't those people on autopilot frustrate you sometimes? God's got this. Whatever God's going to do, God's going to do it. I don't know. I just trust God. And so God's got it. That's autopilot. That's not walking according to His word. That's not seek Him. Seek God. Pursue God. Chase Him down. Look through the crowd. Where's God? Look through this country that is such a murky mess right now. I'm looking for God. Keeping His testimonies. Walking according to His word. I'm looking for God. That's how we will see God. How will we see God in this land today? How am I going to see Him in this? I'm going to hold them testimonies tight. I'm going to pick His path, and I'm going to walk it according to how He told me to. And I'm going to see God work and move in this country. And I'm going to be blessed by Him. for doing it. I'm a little nervous right now. I'm a little frustrated right now. I know, but I'm blessed. Because he said, blessed are those who keep my testimonies and seek him. Uh-oh, gosh. No, he didn't put that in there. He did not say that. Blessed are those who seek him with their whole heart. With their whole heart. I'm all in. I'm all in, God. Their whole heart. Half-hearted? No. Wholehearted. Kind of, sort of, maybe? No. Blessed are those you pick the path, you walk the walk, you keep his testimonies, and I want to see him with my whole heart. I want to see God. Everything I have, I want to see God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. This is another little angle. This is from Jesus. This is from the Master himself. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life. Boy, isn't that a phrase for us right now? Therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life. Okay. What you will eat or what you'll drink or about your body, what you'll put on, what you'll catch or what you won't catch, or who's going to be your next president. Don't be anxious about your life. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What am I going to wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, will be added to you. Seek first, before all the things of this life, seek first clothing, food. Those are the essentials, right? That we are providing for our family and for our loved ones. Clothing, food, health care. Essentials of this life. Before you do that, first comes your pursuit of God and his kingdom. Before you worry about that, before that leads you, before that steers you, before that is your God and your guide, first, seek God and his kingdom. Wow. Over my family's food? Clothing? Yep. Seek first the kingdom of God, and he'll give you all those other things. He'll make sure you have all that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Blessed are those who seek him with their whole heart. Their whole heart. It's pretty easy to tell who's in it with their whole heart, isn't it? That person who's spending all their time at work doing this, for this kid, for that thing, for this, for that. I got this, I got that, I got a full schedule. I got all this going on. seeking first with your whole heart God and His kingdom. Blessed are those who do. Blessed are those who seek Him with their whole heart. So, what does this blessed person look like? What are some of the benefits? What are some of the positives to this person who does? You and I often, we stop this whole conversation at, where am I going to spend eternity? Oh, I'm going to heaven. I believe in God. I'm going to heaven. End of conversation. Oh, you're not going to heaven. You're going to hell. End of conversation. Doesn't this idea of walking and seeking God give us purpose for living life, how we live our life? I mean, if I'm supposed to walk a certain way and seek with the whole heart first, before the things of this life, isn't that purpose? Isn't that more than I'm going to heaven, I'm going to hell? Isn't that more than that? I mean, that is purpose for life right there. This blessed person has purpose in this life of God. That's amazing. Your life is so much more than all these mundane things that we can't take with us. He said, I'm going to give them to you, but let me first give you some real purpose here on this planet. You want to change this country? You want to change this place? God will give you purpose as you walk and seek. Blessed are you. I'll show you one way He's blessed. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It's talking about the church. It says that He, Jesus, gave the apostles to the church, the prophets to the church, evangelists to the church, shepherds and teachers to equip the saints, that's us, for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. You mean God's just not going to do it however He wants? I can go on autopilot? Nope. Nope. You have purpose. You are building the kingdom, pursuing the kingdom. And He gave us shepherds and teachers and evangelists to build us up for the body of Christ. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we are no longer children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness in deceitful schemes, speaking the truth in love, we grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. You're blessed when you pursue Him, when you seek Him, when you get on the path, when your whole heart is in. You are blessed by growth. You are blessed by change that makes you look more like Christ. And is there anyone in here who would disagree that we need more people that look like Jesus floating around this planet right now? Whatever you may say about Christians in the church, you can't say anything bad about Jesus. And this says, when we are all in, we are blessed. We become the fullness of the stature of Christ. We grow into it. We're taught and we're shepherded and we grow and we look like and we act like and we talk like Jesus. We speak the truth in love. Man, that's hard to come by these days. Better yet for you and I, particularly in this day, we're no longer children, tossed by every wind of doctrine, politics, garbage, social media, garbage. We're no longer tossed like a rag doll. Oh man, I'm freaking out. Oh man, this. Oh no, I got it today. I'm good today. What are we going to do? Huh? You're no longer children because you're growing in the truth, into the image. The fullness, not just little like Jesus. You're growing into the fullness of the stature of Jesus. And we will build ourselves up that way. We will grow. We will build ourselves up in love when we do that. That's a blessing. That's a blessing right there. 2 John, clear the back of your Bible, and I just... You've got to see this. I love this. We've referenced this a little bit before. I'm so thrilled that this small family of believers, we've been in 2 John for crying out loud, and 3 John, and some of you ladies, I mean, you guys are just pursuing and seeking Him and in His Word from front to back. And of all things, this little half-page letter, 2 John. Man, you've been there. 2 John verse 1. The elder to the elect lady and her children. That's a church. Whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth. We love you. We love your church. We love what you're doing. Because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son in truth and in love. You talk about blessings right off the bat. The love that just floats back and forth because of the truth. Because of the truth that we have in us. I know some of you understand completely what I'm talking about. When you have a conversation with somebody who has the truth abiding in them, you connect with these people. If you're of the truth, if Jesus and His truth, all His truth is, it's in you, and you're on this path, and you love Him, and you love His truth, and you're growing into His image, and you're loving people. You love people. And you come across somebody just like that, there's a connection. There's a connection right off the bat. It's called fellowship. It's called true fellowship in Christ. You connect. And that love just is just like, it's filled with love. It's beautiful. John says grace and mercy and peace will all be with us from God the Father and Jesus Christ, Aleph, the Father's Son, in truth and love. Blessed are you with grace and mercy. And peace, and love, and fellowship. Verse 4, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth. Wow, some of your children are walking in the truth. Just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we've had from the beginning, that we love one another. There it is. Love one another. Verse 6, and this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment. You've had it from the beginning that you should walk in it. There it is. Listen. Those are blessings, man. Just stack them one on top of the other right there. Man, I just love you, the fellowship I have with you. We connect because the truth that's in us, because Jesus is in us. And we get together and we're just going to talk about Jesus, probably, because it's the greatest thing in our life. My whole heart is in it. Man, it is so amazing. And I saw Jesus. I've been seeking Him and He worked. I prayed for you and He worked. I saw Him. This is cool. Jesus is going to work. Watch this, watch this, watch this. And that's what your conversation is going to look like. Mercy and grace and peace are yours in this mess. Blessings on top of blessings. And love. Love. Here's the commandment. Love. Love one another. How? By the commandments. I mean, wait a minute. I thought it was like, no. Here's things. See, God created the whole earth, whole universe, everything. God created everything. You know, Becky had a great question for me this morning. She's asking me about the angels and everything before creation. I'm old, Becky, but I ain't that old. I'd like that answer. I wish I had that answer. I don't have that answer. God created everything, so everything's His. Guess what else is His? Love. I don't get to define love. I don't own love. Television doesn't get to do it. Hollywood doesn't get to do it. Magazine doesn't get to do it. Guy down the street doesn't get to do it. God owns love too. God owns love too. There's a lot of love language floating around right now. You don't love me. You do love me. I love you more than anything. Oh, I love that. I love French fries. I love puppies. I love flowers. I love baseball. There's a lot of love floating around that it's not that. See, He owns love. God owns love. And you may say, I'm a very loving person. And maybe kind of, in a way, you kind of are likable, a nice neighbor, caring person. I get that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God's love because we are all in. This church, we are all in. We have picked the path, and it is Jesus. And we are walking the path. We are all about His Word, and we are all about His love. We want to love each other. We want to love people on the street coming in here who we're feeding. We want to love every single person. Really love them. And so we speak the truth in love. According to the commandments, just like John and Jesus said, this is love. This is love, that we walk according to His Word and we speak the Word to one another. Ouch. That stung a little bit. What'd you say that for? I love you, man. I love you. Speaking the truth in love, we love with God's love. We build ourselves up with His love. We're truly loved by others. Here's a definition. I was listening to some guys, some really smart guys. I was listening. I'm listening to some really smart guys, and they're teachers. So I got to be taught too, right? I've got to be discipled too. So I listen to really, really smart guys, way over my pay grade, so I can be taught too. And so Terry and I were listening to some stuff of mine yesterday. I said, listen to this. This is really good. And so it was like three guys talking about social injustice and what's happening in our country. And two of them were black guys, and one of them was a white guy. And so they're very smart, so I want to hear what they got to say about this. Well, the one guy, and I'd suggest you look him up, his name's Crawford Loritz. He's an extremely intelligent man. He was quoting another theologian named Bruce Waltke. And Crawford Lawrence said this. He said, "We have a cheap understanding of love, even in the church. Love is not transactional, but sacrificial." And he quoted Bruce Waltke as saying this, "Righteousness," and I'll insert love because that's what he did, "love," or righteousness, "is the willingness to disadvantage yourself to advantage others." That's true love. That's God's love. Willingness to disadvantage myself to advantage others. Unrighteousness is the unwillingness to disadvantage myself to advantage others. And wickedness is the willingness to disadvantage others to advantage myself. You get that? Love is not transactional. It's not like, "Oh, I came into this relationship so you could kind of help me to bloom, and I could help you to bloom, and we could just, but I'm not feeling the bloom. I'm just not blooming anymore in our relationship. See, so I'm moving on to someone who will help me kind of reach the pinnacle of who I really am." Well, that's anything but love. Because God's love is willing to disadvantage myself to advantage you. Wickedness says, "I will put you at a disadvantage to advantage myself, because this is about me. And I will hurt you, take from you, deceive you, manipulate you to gain advantage." That's not love. That's wickedness, was what this says. Love is not transactional. And so we sacrificially care for one another. And I would say to you, it is a sacrifice for us to speak the truth in love to one another. It is a sacrifice for me to risk you being mad at me because of what I'm about to tell you. But it's the truth. And I love you. And I'm not going to just stand here and not speak lovingly and courteously to you. I love you. So here's what God says. That's sacrificial, because you could flip me off and walk out the door at any point and go, "Yeah, I have nothing to do with that guy." And I'm saying that's sacrificial. I love you. You can hate me if you want, but I will not watch you implode on yourself. Speaking the truth in love. Sacrificial. Love is sacrificial. Love cares for one another till it hurts. Is willing to be disadvantaged or unliked. Blessed are those who pick the path of Jesus Christ, of God, and walk it according to His Word. Choosing God's ways and moving in them, diligently being in His Word, seeking Him, seeking God. People say you can't see God. I'm telling you, you can. Seek Him. Jesus is the way. Walk in His Word. Give yourself entirely, with your whole heart, to seeking Him in His Word and walking it out. Grow to look like Him, to live like Him, to talk like Him, to love with His love. Man, don't buy the love Hollywood is selling you. Please do not. Don't buy the love that never says anything contrary or confrontational to your kids, to your wife, to your husband, to your neighbor. I never say anything to anyone who's going to make them upset. They're not going to be happy. They're not going to be pleased. That is not love. Don't buy that love. Speak the truth in love of God's word. And I would say finally, overcoming the blessedness of overcoming hatred and the chaos of this culture with God's love. And I ask you this. As many people today would say, those Christians are just such haters. They are just so judgmental. Those Christians, they don't know how to love each other. I'm asking you this. You look out there and you tell me you see nothing but love. You look out there on the political horizon. You read your paper. You look out there at the Hollywood tabloids and you see your greatest actor or actress on their third or fourth marriage spewing hatred all over each other. You read the comments in the social media section of Facebook or Twitter and you tell me that culture is saturated with love. And I'll tell you, you're looking on the wrong planet. You're looking at Mars, because it ain't here. And I'm saying, we have love. We have the true love of God here and here. Do it. Speak it in love. So many times we don't speak it in love. We speak it. It's just not in love. I've counseled so many men in a marriage, and they said something to their wife, and it kind of unraveled. And I said, you know what, brother? You said the right thing the wrong way. And we can do that. Speak the truth, the right thing, in the right way, with a heart full of sacrificial love. They may not like it at first, but they'll understand later. They'll come back because it's God's love and He will bless you. He will bless you. Aleph. Aleph. The silent force that begins the blessing that blesses you. And when He blesses us, no one takes it away. You are blessed if you seek Him with your whole heart. In His word, pick His path, give it all to Him, and walk it according to His law, to His word. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. There's nothing I want more than for every single person in this room to be blessed by God, to be blessed by God. Overcome that mess with the love of God. Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for blessing us. You are a good God willing to bless us. You're full of love. You know what love really is. And You'll bless us with it. Lord, we need it. Man, do we need it. I need it. And our country needs it. So, Lord, we humble ourselves before You. We confess our sin to You. Lord, bless us with love, I pray. Bless us in Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you would please stand for this last song with us. It's funny, as Pastor Terry was speaking, sometimes he'll say something or read a passage and the words of the song that we're going to close with will pop into my mind. And this, Your Great Name, is just all about praising Jesus and who He is. And it ends that all the world will praise Your great name. And I thought, we want to live our lives so that people will see us and want to praise his great name.